Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
It's so good to see you in God's house. We're starting a brand new series this month. It's based on a book. So let's bow our heads and let's ask God's blessing on His word this morning. Thank you for the presence of Jesus in the house. This is your house, Lord. This is your home, and you want to build it, Lord, and you build it with people. I thank you for every single person here. For the blessing of the Word of God that brings truth and life to us, that expands our horizon of who you are and what you created us to be. So help us this morning to hear your Word, to receive your Word, believe your Word, and then to begin to live it out for our benefit, and especially for your glory. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Of course, the title of this series is Experiencing Jesus and His Church. And it's based on a book by Pastor Mal Mullen. Pastor Mal is just a great man of God. Karen and I have known him for years, since we were baby Christians. And he's been a real spiritual example and a model in our life. This book is so good. It's so easy to read, so easy to listen to. It's also in what they call audiobook form too as well. This is a great book because it helps you and I get started in basic discipleship and to frame our lives in His house to grow, to establish, you know, to be energized and to grow in our faith, to build our faith. My message today is entitled, Let's Get Started. Can we say that together? Let's get started. Okay, let's start by reading the very words of Jesus, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus got real close to his disciples, and he said to them, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. You know, as you read Pastor Mal's book, on day two, this statement just sort of booms right out, okay? And the statement is this. Point number one, true disciples are made. They're not just born. Say that again. True disciples are made. They're not just born. Okay, the Apostle John talks about Jesus here. John chapter 1, verse 10 describes Jesus. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all, and that's you and I, to all of us who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now listen to verse 13. They are what? Reborn. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. When we give our lives to Christ, something supernatural happens. We are born, reborn. We are born of the Spirit. Our spirit comes alive. We are transformed. We begin to be changed from the inside out. God begins to take over in our life, and he begins a revolution in which he becomes Lord, not just Savior. Amen? It's an incredible thing. We are transformed, we are changed, and the Bible calls it new birth. New birth. John chapter 1 says we receive a birth that comes where from? Where from? From God. John 3 verse 7. Jesus said, listen, you must be born again. 1 Peter 3 says this, because of his great mercy, because of God's mercy, that we are born again. 1 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of scriptures today. We have a new life in Christ. The old is gone, and the new begins to take over. The new has come. See, we are born of God. We are born of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Great verse. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. What's he saying here? Salvation is all God. Salvation comes from God, and only God, and only through the cross of Christ, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. We're born of God, and when we're born of God, we become God's children, God's sons and daughters. We are family. Can you say that this morning? We are family. We are family. Sly and the Family Stone, right? It's a good thing I can't sing very well. I'm not going to try. Okay. We're family. God wants to know that when you get born again, He puts you into a family, His family. Amen? Amen. Okay. I want to share with you, I've shared it with you before. Let me share again. As a kid, as a child, I grew up in a Buddhist family. The Shimoda family were Buddhists, had always been Buddhists. As far back as we can ever trace our ancestry, Buddhist, 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 right? Always been Buddhist. So as a kid, my parents were living in Coaldale on a farm, and my parents made us go to Buddhist church in Coaldale. And you know what it was all about? It was sitting there, it was a lot of chanting, in a language I didn't understand, you know, and a lot of, you know, a lot of words, a lot of talking, a lot of tradition, and we just didn't want to go. I know that our parents made us go. And when they said, finally, the kids can go and do some crafts upstairs, I mean, that was the only part I even liked about it, right? But as I was growing up, as a teenager, as a young man, you know, we stopped going to church because we were so busy. We were working on a farm. My dad had purchased a farm. And we didn't have much experience. But growing up, you know, I had an occasional experience. I went to this church there or that their church. But with my limited experience of church, my concept of church was this. It's a dry religious place with very boring people. And it's the last place on earth I wanted to be. Now, growing up as a young man and as a, you know, as a young adult, single, I had two friends. I didn't have very, very many friends, but two guys I used to hang out with all the time. And the highlight of our life, the highlight of our week, every week, was hitting another bar in Lethbridge. And it was Saturday night, getting loaded up with beer, draft beer, and then sleeping late on a Sunday morning, working it off, and then showing up at Smitty's restaurant on the north side. It used to be in that mall that on the north side for a late lunch. And we usually did this almost every weekend and every Sunday. That was our life. And then one Sunday, one of my friends shows up, and he's wearing a three-piece suit. I could still see it today. He's wearing a three-piece suit. It's dark blue, and he's got this pocket watch, which he pulls out. It's got this little chain. I thought, that's weird, man. Even then, I thought, that is weird. Sticks it back in there. I thought, he looks funny, you know. And so we started to tease him. What are you wearing a suit for? What's up? He says, well, once in a while, I go to church. He said to us, and to me and my friend, my other friend, you guys should go to church sometimes too. And so we thought, and then we teased him some more, and then we got into a very serious conversation. Oh, well, what do you do there? What's it all about? What's church all about? What do you do? And he says, well, and he starts to describe some of the things that happened in church. Some of the traditions, you know, the breaking the bread, we didn't communion, we didn't understand it, but we asked him questions, they talked about what the priest did and the you know, some of the stuff he was doing and the altar board. And anyway, we thought, man, that's so weird. I said, well, what does he talk about? He said, well, he talks about the, you know, the commandments, the rituals, the rules, you know. And, you know, after I thought about that conversation, a year later, he thought, all about the rituals, rules, but never about the ruler, right? And after he goes on this litany, long litany, of what they did at church and what church is all about, you know, right there, and I made up my mind, I don't want any of that. If that's what God is all about, if that's what church is about, you can have it. I don't want any of that. But one night, sitting all alone in my living room, I received Christ into my heart and my spirit came alive. I came alive in the Lord. In that moment, I was born into the kingdom of God. You know, I was born into the Shemot of a family by flesh. But in that moment I received Christ, I was born into God's family, the church, by the Spirit. Amen? And God didn't leave me alone. And then immediately, God was leading me to a family, a local church that I needed to belong to. And you know what? This became my family. This became my tribe, my people, my language. This was me. I began to understand what family was about, closer than my blood family. And it is still for me today. The church is closer than my blood family. See, to me, it was not just a building. It was not just a community. It was not just an organization, not just a charity. It was not just a church. It was my church. It became my church, my home, for my family, right? It was my church, God's house, God's home for my family. I know, and that's exactly what God wants church to be to you. He wants the local church to be your family, right? Your home, your church, for your family. Amen? It's your family. You know, I look up back at my life, and I see that Jesus, this is on your PowerPoint, Jesus changed my life, but it was the church that formed my life, right? Jesus found me, but the church formed me. Jesus saved me, but the church discipled me. See, God uses people in our life. God uses godly people in our life to disciple us. You know, immediately, when I found this church, and I believe that God led me here, although I wanted to fight this church, because to me, it was so weird, you know. We had worship, and we had stuff happening when I came to this church that you don't see much happening anymore. And thank God, because you might not be here if you saw some of that stuff. But you know, I was determined to serve Jesus. And immediately I got into this, this church, I was discipled. I took a course, a little course called One-to-One. I met with this guy named Dennis once a week for about 5 weeks. I was discipled by Dennis. And then right after that, I got water baptized. Pastor Keith, then he invited me to his small group, and then he taught me how to lead a small group and how to lead other people. Another of the other pastor was Pastor John. He taught me how to become a marketplace leader in business and to be successful. And then John also taught me how to preach the gospel, preach the word. We went through Bible courses, and we used to have a Bible college here called New Hope Bible College. This church used to be called New Hope. We changed its name to New Hope Christian Center, now known as City Light Church. We made some changes. So we took Bible courses, and then later on, we were teaching these courses, weren't we, sweetie? We're teaching the very courses. And so I got schooled in the church, was being taught how to pastor, lead small groups, taught how to preach. You know, and this is where I met Karen. Can you imagine? One of the greatest gifts to God that God gave me through his church is he gave me a great wife. I tried searching everywhere for a wife, and I tell you, I couldn't find it. But God brought me a wife right here to be in my house, right? In his house. I met my wife here. We got married here. We dedicated our kids here, you know. This is the place we had powerful prophetic words spoken over us that brought direction to our lives. This is the place we were prayed over when we were going through troubled times. This was God's house, right? And then we were sent out from this church to a place called Tabor to start this church. There's another church there. Established that church. 12 years later, he sends us back, right back to this place again, from the place we were sent out. And here we are. We're still growing. We're still learning. We're discipling others. We're leading. We're still building his church. I've never left this church. It's always been a part of who I am. It's ingrained in us. You know, I couldn't go anywhere else. It's my house, my home, it's God's house. It's where God wants me to belong. Amen? You know, I hear some Christians, you know, I even heard a pastor say, only Jesus. All you need is Jesus, that's all you need. I don't think so. It's not only just Jesus. Point number two. Yes, Jesus found me, but it was through the church that I was formed. Church formed me. Here's the point. We need to have the highest value for Jesus, but we also need to have the highest value for his church too as well. Do you believe that? You know, I was born again. I was born again. But as a baby Christian, I needed to mature. I needed to grow up into all that God wanted me to be, right? And, you know, and I think that's a problem with some Christians. They're born of the Lord, but they're not being discipled. They're not raised in the house because they don't put themselves into discipleship. And if you don't do that, you know, you can remain at the place you've always been. You can still be a baby if you want to, if you make that choice, right? You know, some pastors call it high chair Christians. You can be a high chair Christian where you want people to get in front of you and where you say to them, well, feed me, you know, change me, hug me, you know, serve me, right? How many say, I say, praise God for baby Christians, for new believers, but don't stay a baby, right? Don't stay being a baby. It's time to be discipled. Amen? Time to be discipled. Paul said to the Corinthian church, who was just a young church, he said, I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. He's saying, I had to give you milk, not meat. Because, you know, you're still carnal, jealous, you're still living by the flesh. You know, you're born of the Spirit, but you're still living like the world. Shouldn't be that way, right? That's what he's saying. It shouldn't be that way. See, I said again, disciples are not just born, they're made. Disciples are born and made, right? I want to say, as a Christ follower, I decided at that point to put my life into a discipleship training process. We didn't call it back then there. It's just the way they did things. And it was a lifelong process in a cycle of being discipled, and then not only just being discipled, of making disciples. Can I say this? You were never meant by God just to be born again. You were never meant by God just to have, invite Christ into your heart. Many Christians are still living at that place. They're just born again. You are meant to be born again, yes, and to be everything that God created you to be. I want to tell you again, and, you know, I think we should call this year, the year 2019 is the year of discovering your potential and releasing that potential into your life, right? And through your life. You were created with such incredible potential, you can't even imagine what you can do with God moving through you if you just say, God, release all that you created me to be. David said it in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully created, designed for a purpose to be used by God, right? In a way that will just blow your mind. I'll say this again, though. We're talking about potential. What do you mean, Pastor Doug? This is what I mean. You have talents inside of you. I'm prophesying to you right now. You have talents inside of you that have not been discovered yet. You have abilities that are untapped, right? And you have incredible strengths that you don't even know because they're not being used. And they will always be undiscovered, unused, until you sign on the dotted line with God and said, make me into all that you created to me. Make me a disciple. Amen? That's when it happens. When you sign up and you say, I want to be all that you created me to be, starts with becoming a disciple. It starts when you answer and you respond to that command that the very first disciples and every single other biblical disciple needs to answer that question. Will Jesus answer that in response to that command? Well, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Amen? Follow me and I will make you into fishers of men. What he was saying, into a disciple after me. Peter, James, and John were the earliest disciples, right? When Peter, James, and John responded to that command, follow me, they had no idea what they signed up for. They had no idea how what God was going to use them. See, they were just ordinary people, just making an ordinary living. They were just fishermen, right? Just fishermen. But they went from doing the ordinary to doing the extraordinary. Why? Because they responded to that call to become a disciple after Jesus. They were no longer just fishing. They were fishing for men. They were involved in God's divine plan. And boy, did their lives ever turn around. If you want to see how their life changed after that, read your Bible. Amen? You know, because they answered the call to become a disciple after Jesus. Become a disciple. Be one, and also make one, right? Well, Pastor, well, I'm saved. Isn't that enough? You know what the answer is? No, not enough. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians 2:13. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. I want to do what pleases him. I don't want to just live for myself. Do you? See, he's saying, you got to work at it. You got to work at it. You got to work out your salvation. The NIV says this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know what? And that's a process that never ends. It never ends. You know, you and I, we should always be learning, always be growing, and always be changing, right? I should be more like Jesus this month than I was last month. Sometimes I think I've regressed. Do you feel that way? Right? But we need to be pushing forward, right? More like Jesus this year than last year. More like him. More involved. More kingdom mind. More passionate about Jesus, right? Understand point number three. Discipleship is a whole life training process. Whole life training. See, remember that scripture, Ephesians 2:8? For it is by grace you have been saved by faith. This is not of yourself, right? So that no one, not by works, so that no one can boast. Okay, you're saved by grace, right? Not by works. You don't have to do anything to get your salvation. But the Bible says, yes, you're saved by grace. Yet the Bible tells us, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself. Be imitators of God. Take off the old, put on the brand new, right? That's work. You know, we see pictures of this, of Paul and Timothy. Paul, the apostle Paul, the elder, the senior guy, and this young man, just a little over being a teenager. This relationship between Paul and Timothy, a discipleship relationship, right? A mentoring relationship, a fathership relationship. And Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 2, I am writing to you, Timothy, my dear son. In verse 5, he writes, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. There's a heritage passed down. But not only that, there's a discipleship that was passed on. You see, we look at that, and Paul is saying to Timothy, you've been discipled by multiple people. And now I'm discipling you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says to Timothy, this is why I remind you. See, he's doing something. He's stirring up his spiritual son's faith and his passion for Jesus. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. We need somebody to fan into flame our passion and our desire to keep on serving Jesus instead of just living a life of thriving, hand to mouth, but a life that somehow God is using us in an extraordinary way. Amen? And that's what we do. We lay hands on people too, and we release the anointing and the giftings of God in them. In verse 13, Paul says, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. Where did you learn it from? From Paul, right? I mean, we learn it from somebody else. A pattern shaped by the faith and the love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Discipleship. Be a disciple. Be one, make one. Right? 2 Timothy 3:10. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach, how I live, and what my purpose is. You see, Paul modeled his life and his faith to Timothy. Timothy was his spiritual son. He was making him to a disciple after Jesus. This is discipleship. This is discipleship. Timothy was born of God. He was born of the Spirit, but he was also discipled by Paul. Same thing for us. We are found by Jesus. We are formed in his church and through his church, and we should be forming others. Amen? This church began way long time ago. Maybe before some of you were even born, a lot of you, right? This church was founded way back in the 70s. In the days, they called it hippie movement, right? Early 70s, hippie movement. And what was going on in the church was the charismatic movement, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And this church was making disciples of people who were coming. A lot of those people were so messed up. Young people, tons of young people coming under drugs and alcohol, coming into this church, getting born again, born into the Spirit, being discipled, and their lives began to change. That's what this church's roots is all about. It began way back then. And you know what? City Light's mission today is still to make disciples. Even if it's making disciples of people that nobody else wants. And I think it was Trevor Zebra said a couple of times as we were in our prayer meeting on Wednesday morning. And she said, you know, God just seems to bring really hurting, messed up people here. I said, that's right, because that's exactly who I was. I was so messed up. I want to tell you how I lived as a young man. I was so messed up. But God healed me, God delivered me, and God changed me. God discipled me through his church. He formed me into becoming more like Jesus. I've got a long way to go, but you know, I'm on the way. Amen? See, that's our DNA. That's our invite. We're a church for everybody. We're all messed up, right? Lift up your hand and tell me that you're not messed up. Oh, good. Because then it says, lift your hand and I want to see what a liar looks like, right? Did you ever hear that saying? Right? We're all messed up. Some of us are more messed up. I'm just way less messed up now than I used to be. So I can help you out of your messes. Amen? Jesus was totally unmessed. And he stayed unmessed. That's why he can help us. Amen? I want to finish. What time have I got? I want to finish with, go through these really quickly. Seven steps to discipleship. Seven steps to discipleship. All right? Number one, if you want to become a disciple of Jesus, it starts with number one, having an assurance of faith. A lot of people, when they meet Jesus, they have an experience with Christ, they start to have doubts that they're saved, that they're born again, that they're going to heaven. Listen to what 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John says, I've written these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know for sure. Listen, I want to tell you, if you've repented of your sins, if you turned to God, and you've invited Christ into your heart, if you did that, you're born again. Have the confidence that you are saved. Amen? Amen? You're saved because the Word of God tells you that you're saved. So don't live by how you feel. Don't live by feelings. Live by faith. Live by faith. If you lifted up your hand, you invited Christ, and you were serious about it, yeah, you have doubts. And listen, everyone has doubts. I had doubts. But I kept reading my Word and thought, you know what? There's just no way I'm saved. I've got to be saved because this is exactly what I did. This is what the Bible says. Amen? Second step of discipleship, water baptism. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Who? Who should be baptized? Every one of you. Every one of you in the name of Christ Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Water baptism is your public declaration of your faith and your relationship with Jesus. It's your public declaration, right? It's an incredible, necessary step. And it's really what it is. It's your first step of obedience. You got to take that step, right? March the 10th, we're having water baptism day. March the 10th. If you're not water baptized, make that note. You can sign up. Let us know at the front desk. I want to have, you know, if we can have 10, 15 people get water baptized, 20, great. No, but whoever you are, if you're not, make sure you take that step. That's absolutely a crucial step in your relationship with God. So liberating, so powerfully a step spiritually. You got to take that step if you're going to continue well with God, I think. Number three, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about water. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Listen, the moment you receive Christ into your heart, the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit dwelt in you. Jesus is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Receive Christ, comes right into your soul, right into your spirit, right into your the very core of who you are, right? He dwells in you. But the Bible says, and Jesus said, not only will the Holy Spirit dwell in you, the Holy Spirit wants to dwell on you. Right? He's talking about his power this time. You've received him into your heart. Now he wants to give you power. And that's exactly what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he told the disciples, don't do anything, don't go anywhere until you receive this. There's a gift that God wants you to give you. It's a gift from heaven for you to live your life. And he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes where? Upon you, right? He empowers you. He empowers you to live a godly life, a holy life. Man, you know, I'm a pastor, but it's a good thing I've got the Holy Spirit, because you'd probably want to kick me off the stage. You know, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit and I didn't have conviction, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't want to listen to me, because I'd be living like hell without the Holy Spirit. Because he convicts me of everything. He convicts me. Even now he's convicted me. I can't get away from him. You can't get away from somebody who's under your skin, right? He's in you. And he's teaching you. And he's telling you things. He's convicting you. And you read the word. Whoa, okay, all right. You're talking to me, God. You know? He reveals things to you. He's your partner. He's the Holy Spirit. He's your paraclete, the one who comes alongside you. He's also inside of you, and he's with you, and he's on you. He's, right? You can't get away from him. And the Holy Spirit gives you a gift. It's called power, and this gift is for every single believer, and it's accompanied by a new prayer language, for which you can communicate with God, called speaking in tongues. Do you speak in tongues? So important that you speak in tongues. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray. So the Spirit within you prays, knows what to pray. And you find out you're speaking in this language that's not English, but it's the Holy Spirit inside of you speaking. But he's using your voice. So powerful. My pastor, John, He used to tell me every day, almost like, you know, I'm a young man, I'm trying to serve God, I'm struggling with all kinds of stuff like lust and smoking and addictions. And he says, Doug, are you praying in tongues? Are you praying in tongues? Keep on praying in tongues. And he said, you pray in tongues because it builds you up. It makes you strong inside. And I spoke in tongues all the time, right? I still speak in tongues. Just don't do it out loud in here because I don't want to freak you out and think, what's he doing? You know, some people always, there's an emphasis by God there, right? Some people always say, it's the devil, you're speaking in tongues. No, it's the Holy Spirit. Read your Bible. So biblical, so obvious, so necessary. Do it. It's up to you. You have the option to do it. You can keep your mouth shut or you can pray in the Spirit. Learn to pray in the Spirit. It's powerful. And when you don't want to pray, God knows He's praying right through you, and the answer is getting right to heaven. Listen, the devil can hear you pray. He can pray you pray, God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He knows your strategy. He says, well, I'm going to do everything to stop that from happening. But when you're praying in tongues, he doesn't understand the word that you're saying. God puts out, what do they call it? He mixes it up, deciphers all those words, right? What do you call it? You know, anyway, God, but God knows, and he hears and responds. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What a difference it makes. Boldness. You be my witnesses. You're afraid to tell people about Jesus? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day we get, read John, you know, John 7 verse 37. Great big religious feast is going on. People are standing around, you know, religious people are, the religious Pharisees are talking. Jesus is there. Finally he gets up, he says, listen. He says, if anyone is thirsty or hungry, just believe in me. He who believes in me, he says, you know, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and rivers of living water will flow out of you, which by which he meant the Holy Spirit. Living water, right? It's life. We need the Holy Spirit. This is a Holy Spirit-filled church, right? I mean, we don't put a huge emphasis on that because salvation and serving God, but we want you to become a disciple, and that's why I want to emphasize this today. It's a key aspect. Water baptism, salvation, water baptism, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Number four, relationship with God. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, and it's a light for my path. Listen, as believers, I talk to Christians all the time, and I see them struggling. I said, are you praying? Have you prayed today? Well, I sort of just talked to him. I said grace at my meals, but do you have a prayer relationship with God? Are you reading? Did you read the Word of God today? Did you get that Word into you today? And I find a lot of Christians don't do that. And they wonder why they're struggling in their faith with God. Your relationship with God is so dependent on you having a relationship with God, talking to Him, then beginning to learn how to understand that He's talking back to you again, right? Right back to your soul and your spirit. You grow in your relationship with God by daily reading His Word. You know what? Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He says, man, if you don't eat bread, if you don't eat food, you're going to die, right? Your body's going to die. If you don't eat and partake of God's word, what happens to your soul, right? Number five, the Lordship of Jesus. A disciple accepts that Jesus Christ is who He is. He's not just Savior. He's also Lord. He has a conscious awareness and an understanding that Jesus, you're the King of my life. You're the Lord of my life. And whatever you say goes for me. I know so many Christians, yeah, they'll do that part of the Lord. Jesus is Lord in this area, but not in this area. So what's that saying? He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all, right? He's Lord. Luke chapter 6, 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He's saying, don't just hear my words, obey them, put them into practice. John 14, 15. We have a love relationship with Jesus. Is it a love relationship? Of course it is. Here's what Jesus said. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Pretty black and white statement, isn't it? Right? Live a lifestyle of obedience to Christ. Number six, to be a disciple, you got to be planted in His house. Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. planted in the house of the Lord. What happens when you get planted? You will what? Flourish in the courts of our God. Flourish, grow into all God created you to be, right? What you're called to be. How does that happen? It's in attending, it's by giving, and it's by receiving that you grow in your faith. You discover fulfillment, purpose in this life, and you discover your hidden talents, untapped abilities, unused strengths. You discover how God can use you. But first, what you got to do, open your heart, open your home, open your life to become a disciple. Be one and what? Make one. Be one, make one. So in closing, I'm closing now, but teamwork, I'm going to ask you three questions. Are you ready? You answer this to yourself. Number one. Question number one. Three questions. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Based on what I said, are you a disciple of Jesus? Number two, who is discipling you in his church? And number three, big one, who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? Discipling others is a key to spiritual growth. I didn't really grow until my pastor said, okay, now you're going to take someone else. You went through one-to-one. Now I want you to take this guy through one-to-one. And after you finish with this guy, I want you to take this guy because he just got born again. And he needs to grow. He needs to learn. So you're going to disciple others, right? See, you're not just going to be part of a small group. You're going to lead the small group, right? Anyway, let's get started. The message is called what? Let's get started. Let's become a disciple. And let's make a disciple. Amen? Do you agree with that word? Now let's say amen. Say amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.